You know, this morning our cup is filled to it runs over. Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful to be in his presence today. You see the smile on my face, my pearly whites and the little gray whiskers and my glasses and my receding hairline. But you know what? Nonetheless, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. I'm just so excited to be before in his presence, to be before God's people again, to be able to break the word of life on this dear day. I'm just so glad there's so many broadcasts going on now, and you could have chosen to be anywhere else, but you chose to click on this one. And for that, we're grateful. For that, we're going to preach the word. For that, we're going to give God's unadulterated word of God. We don't always like it. I don't always like what it says, but sometimes it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. It says what it says. I can do what it says I can do, and I can't do what it said I can't do. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, I want to take a little Joe Osteen there, but, you know, we had to, you know, Eli-fy that thing a little bit just to let you know that God is good. And for those who just joined us, first of all, I want to ask you, welcome to the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina, where the pandemic is still running, but Jesus is still King. Hallelujah. And I know that he has my today and my tomorrow. And even if it never ends, Dave, you know what? He's still got it, and it's all good. It's all good. We love to be in the church building because that's what we're used to. That's the tradition. That's what we've been programmed. But I don't know about you, but my God is not limited to the 3113 Cedar Park Road. There in the beautiful city of Greensboro. But he is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's all seeing and he's all knowing, and all power is in his hand. So good morning to those of you. Like I said, again, welcome to the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina. To all our members, God bless you all. I hope all is well. I'm so happy to hear about the successful surgery of one of our dear brothers, his mother, Brother Jordan. We just ask that God continues to keep her and keep her going. Amen. And that she would be all that he called her to be, and God just continue to do that work. Amen. Sometimes things happen right when we want them to happen, and sometimes there's a process. Amen. And with that process, what we have to do is stay still and know that he's God, and to know that we just got to stand in faith. And even if we don't see it, it doesn't mean that my faith is going to change. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, we have faith that the air that is this air around us, we have faith to sit in the chairs and get in the cars that they're going to take us. Do you not realize that your car is a running explosion? You know, cars work off gasoline, and gasoline is made off an engine that drives the pistons up and down. The pistons move up and down. Why? Because there are many explosions going on. Do you not know you're driving an explosion? And you're driving what they call a control explosion. Mm-hmm. So you're literally driving a control explosion. And if you can trust that enough to take you down the road and bring you back, you're going to tell them you can't trust the guy who flung the moon and the stars into outer space. You tell them you can't trust the guy who put you and I here. You tell them you can't trust the guy that made all heaven and earth, and you trust that thing that was made by man? Oh, come on, somebody. But God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Safe House Church, we work off three basic principles that we believe that God has called us to. You know, there's churches that have their own niches and things, but God has called us to three specific things that we believe at the Safe House Church. Number one is discipleship. Discipleship here at the Safe House Church, we're going to teach you, we're going to lead you, and we're going to give you the word of God. And, you know, I lead you to the cross. You know, I'm not a God. I'm not a God. I'm not even close to being a God. If you knew some of the things I've done and some of my shortcomings, you wouldn't even want to talk to me, you know. But nonetheless, what we do is we point people to the cross, that God is the ultimate, and that we just lead and we teach. And we teach people to be able to what? To understand and learn the Bible for themselves. You all, do you not realize? They say, for instance, if this went away, if I couldn't be on the platform that I'm on right now, reaching, you know, hundreds and thousands all around the world, do you not know that you have to be able to go to God for yourself? This is why it's essential. I know everybody doesn't teach this, but I believe this is what God has given us. But we teach that you have to be able to go to him before yourself. Do you not know before even all this, for Martin Luther King and the great, I mean, not Martin Luther King, I'm sorry. Martin Luther King was actually named after this guy, but Martha Luther and the great Reformation, that, you know, before that people actually paid to get the word of God. I know some people say, hey, we pay now. And that's not necessarily true, because you're paying that man. And the Bible says that, you know, the he's worthy of his hire. But what I'm getting at is they had these things called indulges. Oh, when somebody said indulge me. Oh, man, come on. I ain't wanting to go there this morning. But when they say indulge me, what they're saying is, you know, give me this information. And he gave them and said, look, they didn't have to pay these indulges. They didn't have to pay these fees, that they can go to God for themselves. And I don't know about you, but I believe that, and I still work in that, that you can go to God for yourself. He said, yeah, how can they be saved without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? And that's what we're doing, and that's what we all are doing. But at the same time, you have to be able to go out there and read that word for yourself. Because I can give you the interpretation I believe God has given me for that moment in time, for that particular place in your life, and I might be able to expound and explain and expository and break it down and exegete the text and all these fancy homiletic things that people like to say, which really don't mean a hill of beans at the end of the day. It just means that you explain the word of God. Oh, come on. Woo, don't y'all get me going today. But at the same time and at the same rate, is that what? That you read and you understand the Bible said, rightly divide the word of God. So we work off discipleship. Second, we work off empowerment. You know the word of God. You learn the word of God. Now you are empowered to help somebody else. Just like the pandemic, and we talk about this COVID-19, it's infectious and it's everywhere. Yo, you should be effective with the word of God. You should be infectious that others want to gravitate to. Others want to learn from you. Others want to see. Not that you got all the answers. I don't have all the answers. When I learn better, I do better. Sometimes I screw it up. You will too. But part of empowerment is that what I have the opportunity to screw it up. See, everybody ain't going to teach this. You know, everybody ain't going to, you know, it's like, wait, just get under me and do exactly what I say do. No, 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 no. God is not that God. He said, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come. He said, if I be lifted up on the earth, from the earth, then what I should do is draw all men unto me. So what this means? It requires a little bit of work of you. Then lastly, what does he say? He says, lastly, we work off what? Accountability. I know I just cussed to a lot of people. That word, the A word, not the other A word, but the A word, accountability. We work off accountability. Accountability is so important. We have people who just say and do anything that they want to do and go and do. No, accountability is important. Why? Because I am my brother's keeper. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. So how do I get sharp by my counselors and my brother? Does that mean sometimes there's going to be a little friction? Absolutely. Does that mean sometimes you might get a little upset with me? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, when we all calm down, when we all see it all in the better and better by and by, we come to realize that, you know what, this was for my good. So I'm accountable to people. I'm accountable to the members of the Safe House Church. Why? Because I have to live a life that's pleasing unto God, because they're watching the life I live to see, am I authentic? Oh, come on, somebody. I just live in authenticity. Y'all, what you see is what you get. And that means sometimes I don't get it always right. But I'm reminded by David. The Bible says what? That God said, Jesus said, that David was a man after his own heart. Why was David a man after his own heart? Well, David was a murderer. David was a homemonger. David was a homewrecker. Oh, come on, somebody. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. David was a warrior. David killed people. Yeah, God said he was a man after his own heart. Why? Because David understood, if you look through all the Psalms and you look through all the writers in David's life, that David understood that when he screwed it up, that he knew how to come back to God with an humble heart and say, Lord, I missed the mark. And that's what this thing is about, brothers and sisters. It's not about how many times you got everything right. It's about, can you stay in the race long enough? So DEA, discipleship, empowerment, and accountability is what the Safe House Church is all about. We work off those three things. Yes, we believe the Bible from cover to cover. Amen. I have it right here. You know, I wish I have you a good hard copy Bible. I know we like electronics, and I love them too. But Thompson Chain, man, you can't beat this. This is a great Bible that I've had many years now. All right, so I've got through all that. I hope all is well with you all. I know we still going through this thing, but you know what? God has not forgotten us. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that today. And we're going to go right into what I believe God has given us today. I'm not going to labor the point anymore. We have our worship service this morning, but I will ask you to do one thing. Click the share button. You all been holding out on me on share. You on Periscope. I know some of you on Periscope, you know, share that to your friends on Periscope. You know, those who are watching by way of the Facebook, please go ahead and hit the share button. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we want this gospel to be able to get out to as many as possible. And I believe I have a on-time word today from God for you and the Safe House Church. All right, so let's go right into what I believe God has given us. If you would turn with me for a moment to the book of, let's see where we're going today. Let me see if I got my scriptures. Yes. All right, let me hide that. Y'all know I'm working like two or three different things here at the same time. We're going to Matthew 8:23. This is a familiar story, but hopefully I'm going to give you a little bit of different take on it and let you see it a little bit differently, how God has laid this to me this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So feel free to interact with us. Feel free to join us. Comments are welcome. Comments are welcome. They said the best thing online now is to interact with your audience better. So by all means, please give comments. That doesn't bother me. You know, I'm not your traditional preacher anyway. So, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Amen. Amen. So let's go with me to Matthew, the eighth, eighth chapter, and we're going to be at verse 23. For those who may not have that Bible, or, you know, I don't know about you all, but, you know, sometimes I know y'all do. Y'all take your phones to the bathroom and all that stuff. So if you ain't got that, but you got your phone, I'm going to share this screen with you, and I'm going to give you a little split screen here. One of the online tools that I like to use all the time is the BlueLetterBible.org. BlueLetterBible.org. Very, very nice website. Very cool website, and very, very free. Get the opportunity to drop them. You know, they do ask some donations from time to time, but this has been around for a while. I find it to be, especially if you're just starting in the Bible and you're trying to understand things, they have so many different tools out here to get you started. Amen. Get you started. So let's go ahead and let's read. I'm in verse 23 here today, and we're going to read this short story. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Now here, what the disciples follow him, they are in what? Discipleship. So when you're in discipleship with someone, you follow them. So here they just going wherever Jesus goes. Why? Because when they follow in Jesus, this allows them the opportunity to learn things. You know, you learn things about when you follow people. You know, we have a thing that we follow each other online and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know about you, but some of the ones I follow online, I've learned a great deal about them. People will tell you things. Things come out. You know, some good things come out and you learn some good things, and then you learn some not so good things about people. Maybe some things that you'd rather not have learned. Right? You know, I know I'm not a hermit. I've seen these red table talk discussions and all this kind of stuff. And some of you, you know, the Bible said, don't get entangled with the yoke of bondage. Amen. So, you know, be careful in your entanglements out there. Amen. Y'all know I'm funny. I like to have a good time. Amen. But be careful of your entanglements. Amen. Amen. Because the Bible said don't be entangled with that yoke of bondage again, which means that you was in it one time and he got you out. So now he's telling you, be careful not to find yourself in it again. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all feeling me out there this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So let's go on. He says, so they're following him onto this ship. And then he goes on and he says this. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. And so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. So what happens here is they go out in the sea, they're sailing somewhere, and now there's a big storm that comes on. The tempest being a storm at the sea, and they, you know, the ship was covered. So if you ever been on a boat, I'm on a boat an awful lot of times. You know, I like to fish and stuff. And sometimes them waves can get a little rocky, and your boat will be going up and down and to the side and all this stuff. And when your boat is doing all those kind of things, sometimes it can be a little hairy out there. I'll be the first to tell you. It's been a little hairy for your boy one or two times. I was like, man, am I going to flip this thing? Am I going to end up in the water or whatever the case, you know, may be? But I'm glad that God did not allow that to happen. So this water, and if you know anything about a boat, as you continue to take on water, more and more water, what happens is that water now is going to take your ship and you can actually sink. So what you have to do is actually get that water aboard. You know, most modern day boats come now with plugs. You know, the little boat I got a little plug. I pull the plug and hopefully all that water drain out. Because if not, if I carry on too much water, I'm going to sink. Some of you right now, oh, thank you, Jesus. Some of you right now have been carrying on too much water, and that's why you're sinking. See, Jesus is on the boat. Oh, come on. Jesus is on the boat. But see, some of you have been carrying on way too much water. You're listening to what everybody else is saying. Lord, they're going to lay us off next week. Lord, they're going to end my contract. Lord, how am I going to keep this? Lord, what about this? What about that? Some of us are what? Gotten ourselves to the point that what? We got too much going on. And it's starting to weigh down our boat. And we feel ourselves sinking. And I'm here to tell you today that it's time for you to bail water. It's time for you to pull the plug on that thing. When you're pulling the plug on that thing, what you're saying is, God, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, if it meant for me to lose this job, Lord, then, Lord, it is what it is. I have to trust you. Lord, if it's meant for me to catch this and you want to make me a living example for somebody else, Lord, not my will, but you. And I know that's a hard thing to say. Why? Because it requires F-A-I-T-H, faith. I hope I spelled that right. It requires faith. So here now, the ship, and they said, why is Jesus sleeping when the ship is taking on all this water? We are certain to drown. Why? Because they're in the middle of nowhere. Some of us find ourselves right now, we are in the middle of nowhere. We don't know where we're going or where we're coming or what's going to happen or what the government's going to do and what they're not going to do and what mandates they're going to put on us and all this kind of stuff. We find ourselves in all of this. I'm here with you. Then he goes on and he says this, and it says in verse 25, it says, and his disciples came to him. These are the ones who follow him now. These are the same guys who've seen Jesus do miracle after miracle, who've known him, to be God. And what they do? And Jesus and his disciples come to him and awoke him saying, Lord, save us. We perish. A number of us right now find ourselves running and say, Lord, save us or I'm going to perish. Lord, save us or I don't know how we're going to make it through this pandemic. Lord, save us. I don't know how my business is going to fare out in this. Lord, save us. Lord, because I'm about to lose my mind with my children at home. Lord, save us because me and my spouse are about to call it quits. Lord, save us because I'm about to expire all of my financial resources. How many of you are there? Oh, come on, somebody. I know I'm not the only one. Cabin fever, can't get enough, can't get this, can't get that. Always in something. And you're saying, Lord, if you don't save us, we're going to perish. And verse 26, this is what he replies to them, and he says, and he says unto them, why are ye fearful? O ye of little faith. Now, the Bible tells us that if we have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that we should be able to speak to the mountains, and the mountains have to move. So for Jesus to tell them right here that, oh, ye a little faith, and I'm thinking about a mustard seed is really, really small. It's really, really tiny. It's not much to it. That means they must have had even less of that. Because if you can move a mountain, surely you can have the faith to move the sea. So it's inferred here that maybe their faith is weak. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. How many of you know that you need God right now to come into your life and rebuke the winds and the waves in the sea? But what I'm here to tell you today is not so much that God is going to rebuke them, but he's giving you the authority. He's giving you the power through a delegated authority because your spirit lives inside of him. So now you have that same power through delegated authority to speak to the waves and rebuke the wind and rebuke the sea, and great calm comes into your life. Are y'all with me this morning? Great calm should be in your life. As a believer, great calm should be in your life. Does that mean that I not have concerns, Peter? Absolutely, I have some concerns. But I have to remind myself that great calm should be in my life. So then he goes on in the last part of this verse. He says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? See, there are people all around us right now that's looking at you and they're marveling, how is your business still open? They're marveling, how are you making it through this and you have some health issues? They're marveling to say, you know what, I thought she was always, you know, always caught up in this and caught up in that. And they're marveling, trying to figure out, why are you still standing when everybody else around you is losing their head? Why are you still in place when everybody else around you has thrown in the towel? Why are you still there when everybody else said you should just curse God and die? Because you know what? What looks like a raging river on the outside is nothing but great calm on the inside. Because I understand and I know who my hope and my trust is in. It's just a matter of faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So if I talk to you from a subject today, can I talk to you for a little bit from the subject of be cool? Be cool, be cool. You have another opportunity real quick. Hit the share button, share this with somebody else out there today. Somebody else needs to hear this fantastic word of God. So as I see this, you know, we're looking at this and these, and you got these guys here that just find themselves all in the tizzy And I find it interesting that they've been walking with Jesus. They've seen Jesus do all these things, yet their faith is still not there. Some of you, we've been serving God a long time, and we've seen God do one thing after another and put us in one place and take us from one situation to another situation and deliver us. Yet what we find ourselves doing is what? That we still find ourselves worrying about tomorrow. We still find ourselves in this place, and all he's saying is, be cool. If you notice throughout the Bible and you look throughout there, you'll find that every situation that Jesus was in, Jesus never lost his temper. Jesus was always cool. Remember when they brought the woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery and they wanted Jesus to stone her and kill her right there on the spot? And what did Jesus do? Jesus just, I can only imagine, he sat down and he pulled his little robe up. He kneeled down on the ground. And he started taking his finger, and the Bible says he was writing in the ground. He was writing in the sand with his finger. And nobody, you know, we don't distinctly know what he wrote, but we know what happened, that those who wanted to accuse her ran off. There's another time when Jesus was being taken and Jesus was on his way to being crucified, and Peter jumps out because Peter's feeling bad because he said some things and he's done some things and he's did all this stuff, and he takes out his sword and he cuts the guy's ear off. And what does Jesus do? Jesus calmly goes over there and he picks the guy's ear off, places it back on his head, and says, Peter, be cool, bro. Be cool. Then there's another story when they're at the party and there's a wedding going on, and they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, oh God, Jesus, we ran out of wine. And what did Jesus still do? He goes, go get some barrels of water. Calm down. So I believe he just sticks his finger in the water. Water turns to wine. And he's telling them, be cool. Be cool. Every situation we find our Savior, Lord, and Jesus in is a situation. I only can find one where it seemed like he was in some agony. Right before he got, when he went and he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible talks about in one part that it was like sweats, like, you know, he was sweating feverishly. And then one part it was talking about he was sweat like drops of blood. But any other time, you find Jesus to be what? Cool. If he's living in us and I'm living in and we're living in him, then we should be what? We should be cool. So I've been thinking here lately, and I know we've been going through it, and I believe God has laid this on me. And I was reading some things this week about why people don't want to wear masks. And it seemed like wearing a mask would be a simple request. And you're going to see how this is all going to tie in together. So like I said, you want to be here with me on this. And it seems like wearing a mask would be a simple request. But others, you know, fire say, oh, they're making me do this, they're making me do that, da, 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 da. So I was reading, and I want to share with you a little bit as we go on this today, talking about be cool. So I want to read David Abrams, a professor of social and behavior sciences at the School of Global Public Health in New York City, said, the stringency of opinions and extreme polarization over the mask can be chalked up to one thing. Because the virus and the pandemic feel so unfamiliar, we're clinging to whatever makes us feel safe in the moment. Right here, I have a little cloth mask. And they have asked us to wear this thing. I ain't gonna lie, this thing is not sometimes the most comfortable. But sometimes God gives us simple requests, and we want to hang on to what is familiar to us. It's familiar to us to be like this, that we can breathe freely. We can do whatever we want to do. We can say whatever we want to say. We can go wherever we want to go, do whatever we want to do. But sometimes he asks us to do things and we don't necessarily know why. No, I'm fine. I feel fine. But he's telling me to cover up. Oh, come on, somebody. He's asking me to cover up. So as I cover up with this, and I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, this makes me uncomfortable. Why must I cover up? Well, I find out as we read on, he says that Dr. Abrams tells us that this thing is what they call a hot cognition. What is a hot cognition? Glad you asked. So a hot cognition is a strong and powerful set of emotions that completely override and erase the usual rational, cool thinking. See, normally when you'll be cool, but when God asks you to do something a little different, when he says walk by faith and not by sight, when he asks you maybe to cover up your body a little bit, we lose it.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely lose it. Covering up my body a little bit, to cover up a little bit more, to cover up why? So somebody else can see his glory through me. Somebody else can see my obedience through me. So it's so much uncertain right now that it makes it feel in control with to go without the mask. So one thing is, when we're in a level of uncertainty, people rather not wear the mask because it feels like it makes them in control. If you tell me to wear this and I don't want to wear it, I'm in control. When God tells us that he's in control, so we're not to worry about these things. Be cool, because he's in control. See, the next thing that I found out is sometimes we find ourselves in that, now that we're being mandated to wear these masks. Oh, see, it's a little different now. Uh-huh. Because see, I got all kinds of masks, right? So I've gone out like this a couple of times. I feel like a bank robber almost. And there's some stereotypes that might go to that. I got the stars and stripes. You know, at the end of the day, it's still America. I'm still a proud American. But I also believe that my black life matters.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I agree with the organization, but I do agree with what it says. It's not saying that the other houses are not on fire, but this one's on fire. So now he's asking me, there's a mandate, and why should I wear it? There's some things that the Word of God tells us. Hey, do this. And you're questioning God, why should I do it, God? Because I've been getting along just fine without it. Lord, I've not been tithing in years, and you've been blessing me. It doesn't make it right, because you've been riding on his grace and you didn't want to put the mask on. Because see, I wear that mask of tithing. I wear that mask of blessing his name. Why? Because it's important. But some say, wait, you know what? I don't need it though. And that's me walking around saying, I don't need the mask. I don't have the corona. I don't have the COVID-19. I'm not asymptomatic. Yeah, what you don't realize is maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's somebody else who sees you and might have a second guess about this whole thing. They might have a second thought about this thing. Maybe it's somebody else who's been affected in a different way that now they see you and now things have changed. I'm talking about be cool. Because Jesus said be cool. He was cool. He didn't panic in there. So why should I wear it? Well, it's the same thing. Why should you not do the things that he's telling us in the Bible? Because you said, this does not personally affect me, so I'm not going to wear it. You said, God, me obeying you does not personally affect me that way. Me not doing what you tell me to do. Me being out here and giving my body to eat and everybody. Me not following your commandments. Me cheating and backbiting. Me gossiping and all this stuff. It doesn't affect me, but it does affect somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about that today. Then you have that other group who says, I'm young. I can't catch this virus. How many of us have said that, Lord, I got time. I'm young. I got time to get it right. I got time to follow through on this. I got time to make it good. Only to find out that young people are leaving this world on each and every day. Lord, I got time. No, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it next week. I'm going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all he asked you to do. Wear this mask. This shield to show that you blood bought. This shield to show that, you know what, I do care. This shield to show that, you know what, I don't have it all together, but this is what I have, and I'm graduating to the next part of this. Because some of us don't want to say it. Why? Because we scared it's going to cramp our style. We scared that people are going to look at us a certain way, and people are going to see us in a certain light. And since they see us in a certain way and they see us in a certain light, then it affects our status. And we don't want our statuses affected because we want to do what we want to do. When God is saying that, well, look, I got you. It's just a simple face, man. Just a life of transparency. Because, you know what, you ain't got it all together. And that's okay because, no, it's a process. We're working towards perfection. So when people see that, look, they don't have it together, but they're trying. They don't have it all together, but they're moving forward. All swarms of protection. I won't catch it. I'm too young to. When people are leaving here every day. But he's telling you, be cool. And be a witness to somebody else. They say, you know what? I am aware that I can check out of here before my God-given time. I can make choices in such that I can check out of here before my God-given time. That I can put myself in places and situations before my God-given time. But be cool, because he got it all in control. It's what I'm telling you today. Then you have that other group of people. I know y'all thinking, Ely got masks for days. I do. Because I got a little bit of all of them. So here then I put on this actually super duper. To be honest, it's probably the hottest mask I got. But it's also the most protective mask I got. This is that coveted N95 that everybody's talking about. Thanks to my dad. My dad gave me this. You know, I ain't going to tell you where he got them from. You know? But no, he got it. But nonetheless, this N95, it requires me to cover up the most. It requires me sometimes to breathe on top of myself. It requires me to be stuck up under this thing just breathing. And it's hot. And it's hot right now. But the air I'm breathing is a little bit more purified. That I can't pass out some germs and I won't take in some germs. But it makes me look silly. It doesn't make me look masculine at all. Some of you are worried about how you're going to look in this thing. Some of you are worried about, Lord, how when I go out here and I go out here and I help others, and how am I going to look? When we walk around with these things, I know they're not comfortable. But sometimes serving God is not comfortable. Sometimes it's going to cause you to be uncomfortable a little bit. But he's telling you, be cool, because I got you. Be cool, because I got you. Be cool. When he said cover up, it's not about you. When the Bible, he tells me not to do certain things, it's because I'm being an example, because somebody's going to fall off to the wayside if they don't see that example out of my life. That somebody's going to choose a different path if they don't see the example out of my life. So no, I'm not sick, but I choose to cover up. I choose to wear the mask. I choose, why? Because I got to be cool in this so they won't see me sweat under pressure. And this mask is really hot. Woo! The N95. But be cool. So now we get to the point that we've done all these things and we do this. And the number one thing that people say is this. Why they don't want to wear a mask? I don't see our government leaders wearing one, so it can't be that bad. People, at the end of the day, follow their leadership. If you have pastors who go out here and who do anything they want to do, you know, they feel free to take a couple of drinks and go out here and prostitute and do all this other stuff. When you have them that steal money from the church and all this, it reflects badly on all of us, even those of us who are doing everything we can to walk in integrity and walk in accountability and walk right before God's people, to walk in holiness, to walk in righteousness. Yes, it affects us when you decide not to wear your mask of leadership. From the government to the school leaders to all those, it affects. Why? Because people do not have the faith, or they have not developed their faith yet, so they look towards you. Oh, come on, Smile. I'm talking to my leaders now. They look towards you for leadership, and I know it didn't make you feel comfortable, and you're saying, why I have to do, but heavy is the head that wears the crown. You wanted to be the big shot. You wanted to be heads and heels above everybody else, so dog on it, take the responsibility and live right. Live holy. Do what is responsible. Treat people right. Tell them what's right, even if it didn't do right for you. Meaning that you know that if I tell them this, that they might walk away. But I'd rather them walk away, I know, and I told them what was the right thing to do, than me lift up my eyes in hell and said I had an opportunity to help somebody and I passed it up because I wanted not to hurt their feelings. I wanted not to hurt my pocketbook. I wanted my church building. I want all these things too. But at the end of the day, your soul means more to me, baby. He said, cry not, spread a lie. Lift up their voices like a trumpet in Zion. Show that people they're taking their sin in the house they're in. Come on, somebody. I know this is tight, but it's right. And you ain't going to get this from everybody. This is why we have all the different things we got. You're going to get the little pretty, oh, you're so good, and you're going to be fine, baby. And this and this. Yep, going out there, just don't drink as much next time. And no, get yourself together. So the kids won't do it. We got the kid. The little kid, they won't wear the mask. Why? Because the parents are not going to wear the mask. And the parents don't wear the mask. Why? Because the governor ain't going to wear the mask. And the governor don't wear the mask. Why? Because the president won't wear the mask. And then everybody's going to hell. Everybody's sick. Everybody this. Why? Because we can't be cool. Because we won't control. This thing at the end of the day is about control. And everybody's always fighting over control. Control is always the issue. One of my former pastors used to always say that. He said, control is always the issue. And I find that to be true. And that's one thing I can tell you. One of my former pastors, Leroy Kelly, out of Winston-Salem, and he used to tell me, he said that to me on more than one occasion, that control is always the issue. And it is. And what we see him, all these masks, when I refuse to wear a shield, my shield of faith, to be transparent before people, when I decide not to wear my my neck gaiter to keep some other things from coming out of my mouth, because I'm like, I do what I want to do. I'm American. I do whatever I want to do. I say whatever I want to say. And you're right. You do have the right to say all of those things. But you also got to be held accountable. And then when I just wear my clockwork, I'm just going to do enough, just the minimum, to say I did it. Well, yeah, you can go to heaven like that. But I don't know about you, but I just don't want to go to heaven and just barely be there. I want to be there with my big crown on, all my jewels and all my stuff. I want to be blinged out because I won this soul-winning crown and all these jewels are in my crown. Why? Because I went hard for God. And others have made it through the ministry that he's put me in charge to do. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we get to that hard thing when we got to tell sometimes the people the hard stuff. When they got to breathe through basically like cotton and wool here. This thing is hard to breathe out of. But it's the most protective mask I got. That covenant N95. This respirator, I guess is what it says here. And on this, it's tough, but it's necessary. Why? Not because of just me, but because I'm an example as a leader to all those who listen or who follow me. And I am what? Accountable. To all of them too. Whether I want to or not, whether I think they should be, whether I tell them, you know, go do this, do that. No. When God has given you this spirit, when God has put you in a position of power, when God has put you in a position of authority, it's accountability. So what did Jesus tell them to do? Jesus was showing them by example. The ship was rocking, things were rocking. They didn't know, they thought they were going to die. They were ready to die. They were preparing themselves. And they went to that one last dish after to wake Jesus up. And Jesus gets up and he says, well, anyways, y'all go back to your place. And what does Jesus do? He go back in the bottom of the boat and he goes back to sleep. Where's your hope at today? Are you being cool? I'm telling you in all this today, be cool. Don't lose your head about you. Know that God has your back. And I know the waves are rocking. The ship seems like it's taking on water. We've been pulled to and fro. And things are just going nuts and all this stuff. And they saying this and they saying that. But I'm here to tell you today, be cool, because you're not in control. That false sense of ability that we think we're in control. No, but God is in control. And we have to trust that he's in control and that he's going to do what is right and what is just the way that he sees it to make sure that we have the expected end that he tells about it in Jeremiah. He said that in Jeremiah, he tells it in Jeremiah 29, I believe this. He said that I know the plans that I have towards you to prosper you and to give you what? Good success. You can be successful, but is it good success? I don't know about you and today, but I've decided that I want good success. It's not always been easy. There have been some times where I've had some breakdowns too. But what I do, I don't only break down to break back up to where he is. Because there are people who need to be led. There are people who are watching us. There are people who desire to know God in his authenticity. And we live in authenticity. So God bless you all on this day. I love you all. I hope that this message has been a tremendous blessing to you, that you've learned some things today, that you know that Jesus is in the boat. And if he's in the boat, we're good. You're good. But it's our faith that we must check. And when our faith is intact, you know what? We'll be cool. Be cool. Be cool. God bless you all. Love you all. Hey, at this time, if this message has been a blessing to you in any form or fashion, I ask that you all help us as we go to our offering part of our service here on today, that you could just drop something, whatever God has put on your heart to do so. I ask that you just be a blessing to the Safe House Church. We don't run off air. We do have things that we have to do and we have to pay for. But nonetheless, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. So if you see fit, I ask that you, in this time, just bless us. You know, we have to cash out. We have to PayPal there.